Thank you, Trio. Take your Bibles now, and I'd like for you to turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start out there. I want to call our attention today to five important trees that are mentioned in the Bible. They'll be in different locations, but they all speak of something that I think we need to see in relationship to souls being saved and lives being turned over to the Lord Jesus Christ because of His glorious love. Genesis chapter 3, in verse 8, we're going to look first of all at a sinner man behind the tree. A sinner man behind a tree. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. They were hiding from God. Why do people hide from God? You know why people hide from God? Because they're sinners. They are sinful. That's why some people are very, very, very uncomfortable being around Christians or being in church or talking about God or admitting there's a God, being taught that there's a God. They'd rather come up with something, some kind of baboon story about evolution so you can forget about God being real and forget about God being present, because sin makes you want to hide from God. And Adam and Eve sinned against God. They violated the Word of God. They listened to the devil's lie. Anytime someone questions the Word of God and its authenticity and in its authority, you know that the devil's behind it. And so that's what happened to them. They failed God. They sinned. And now they are like cowards hiding behind the tree. Sin always separates us from God, doesn't it? I wish that Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. I wish there had never been that first initial sin. But it was. And God did not make robots. God made them with free will, choice, and volition. He gave them the choice to decide whether to obey Him or disobey Him. God didn't make them as something that had no choice, but something and someone that could either choose to do the will of God or not do the will of God. And so they violated it. They said, "We choose." They listened to the devil. And there might be some of you out here today doing the very same thing. The devil's the one that's trying to make you sin and live in sin. And that's the reason you're not too comfortable with the things of the Lord or the spiritual things, because that is true in your life. And so here they are hiding behind a tree. 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We are all sinners because of what Adam and Eve did. You're a sinner today. Did you know that? You say, "Well, I've never sinned. I've never done anything wrong." You probably, when you said that, you did sin. You just told a big lie. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. You, my friend, are a sinner. You're a sinner. We don't become sinners after we sin the first time. We are sinners made in the similitude of Adam, and that's why we are prone to sin. That's why we're separated from God. We're dead in our trespasses and sin, and so we hide from God as much as we can. Now let's look at another man. This is Adam and Eve hiding behind a tree. If you'll turn over to John chapter 1 for a second, if you can find your place very quickly, do so. If not, just follow along as I read verses 47 and 48. Here we see a sincere man under a tree. Adam and Eve were hiding, a sinner man behind a tree, now a sincere man under a tree. John chapter 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Here comes Nathanael. We know that Philip was of Bethlehem, of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and he brought him. He wanted to bring him to Jesus. And Nathanael said, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I just don't believe it can. But Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. In verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Are you playing a trick on me, or do you really know me? Let me tell you something, friend. Let me tell you something today. God knows you. You say, out of all the almost 7 billion people on the face of the earth, God really knows what I'm up to. He knows what I'm doing in secret as well as publicly. He knows all about me. Absolutely. He is omniscient. That's the kind of God we have, who knows everything about you. You don't hide anything from God. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, before Philip ever called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. He was under a fig tree, and evidently he was contemplating spiritual matters and thinking about those spiritual matters, a seeking man trying to figure out maybe who Jesus was and some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank God for a soul winner who cared, who brought him and introduced him to Jesus. And he found out who Jesus really was. And Jesus said, I know everything about you. I know where you've been. I saw you out there under that fig tree. Don't you know that took him back a little bit? I was way over there under the fig tree and you saw me and you knew me. And this is no game. This is not some kind of mysticism. It's just the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh and he still knew what was going on in Nathanael's life. He knows everything you've done, my dear friend. He knows all that you've done. He knew everything that Nathanael had done. Most of us perhaps have not done some of the worst things in the book, but we're all sinners, but we all know we've failed God. We've come short of His glory. And Nathanael, when he recognized and realized that Jesus was the Messiah right here, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He said, You hadn't seen anything yet. But you are right, Nathanael. I am the Son of God. I am more than a rabbi. I'm more than a teacher. I am God's Son in the flesh. And I think he was getting his attention to let him know that he was the one that was prophesied that was going to die for Nathanael. I am that person that you're debating about and trying to figure out. I am the Messiah. Friend, quit trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. I've got the answer for you today. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the answer to your sin, your dilemma. Jesus is the answer for you, so you won't have to hide behind a tree anymore. He is the answer. I have the answer. We have the answer. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see a seeking man up a tree. Turn to Luke, if you will, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. A sincere man behind a tree, or rather a sinner man, a sincere man under a tree, and a seeking man up a tree. Luke 19, and look at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. It's a very interesting little city, yet Jesus took time to go down there. They still have a sycamore tree there. They claim that might have been the one that Zacchaeus shinnied up. I don't know if it is or not, but it does give you a good picture of it if you've ever been there. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, And he was rich. He was chief among the publicans, a Jew that was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. ABC, NBC, CBS. If you can get through them, you can find Jesus. Amen. So the press was there, but it was the crowd that was there. They could not for the press because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. You remember the song and the way it goes. And there he was, a seeking man up a tree. He wanted to see this Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. And so he ran before and climbed into the sycamore tree to see him, verse 4, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Aren't you glad Jesus cares about people? Nobody is unimportant to him. Friend, you are important to Jesus today. I don't care who you are, you're important to him. And he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Can you imagine Zacchaeus' feeling when that happened? He looked up and said, come on, Zacchaeus, get out of that sycamore tree. Come on down here. Make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Let me point out something here to you in case you might have missed it. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He didn't go to him and chew him out for being a tax collector who had ripped everybody off. You see, Zacchaeus already knew that. He was under conviction. Anybody who is living outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless they've seared their heart to where it's so hardened, they have conviction. And they're thinking about their sin. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, while I'm talking about it right now, you are running through your mind all that you've ever done down through the years that have been contrary, that has been contrary to the will of God. And Zacchaeus knew that he was a sinner. Jesus didn't have to point all that out to him. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Amen. Jesus called him and he said, I'll come. And when they saw it, they all murmured. These must have been no piece of literature, red letter edition, independent fundamental Baptist church with capital I and capital F. Don't get mad at me. Listen to me. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, bad Jesus. But I thought he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I thought that's what this church is supposed to be doing. Amen? Isn't that what we're about? To seek and to save that which was lost. And there he is, up a tree. Jesus went to him, and I like what happened to him. Zacchaeus stood, verse 8, and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. I can tell you, he really got converted. You know why? There was a change in him right away. Here's a man who had been living to make money, living to have prestige, like so many people are, some of you maybe in this building. That is your thrust. That's the whole deal. That's why you're living, to make money, to impress other people, to buy things, to have more leisure and more toys. And Zacchaeus had all of that, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And he knew that he had. He said, I got a lot of money, and I want to give half of it to the poor. That's not what got him saved. That showed that he had gotten saved, and he had a changed attitude and a changed heart. And then he said, besides all that, these people I've ripped off, if we can get them back, if I can locate them, I'm going to give them four times what I ripped them off with. I believe the old boy, I believe he really got it, don't you? He had a change. That's something that if you hadn't had, friend, I'd question what happened to me. I just believe this. I believe when people get saved, their life changes. If they really get saved, they don't keep on drinking and cussing as a habit and living in adultery and breaking the commandments of God and living on drugs and dope and all of that kind of stuff and living a loose life and not really going to church and not following the Lord in believer's baptism and not learning to give God $1 out of every 10 and just not really trying to live a holy life but compromising, running around with the same crowd, going to the same places, doing the same things, no change in their life. Friend, I don't know what you got, but you didn't get salvation. Salvation changes your life. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, it changes. Are you saying, preacher, you're going to be perfect? No, you'll not be perfect. But you will want to be perfect, and you'll desire to please God, and you'll do all you can. You'll give up habits. You'll change your lifestyle. You'll dress right, women. You'll do the right thing to represent the Lord God. You'll live a life that shows that He is your Savior and that He is your Lord. Amen. There'll be a change in your life. This seeking man, I believe, had a change. And he loved the Lord. Now let's look at a Savior man on a tree. Galatians chapter 3, if you will, go there. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. And we're going to look at a Savior man. And I use that term in his humanity. He was deity, we know that. But a Savior man on a tree. Galatians 3:13. The Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law was a school teacher. The law got up and preached and said, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. You've broken the law. You've done bad things. Just teaching us and preaching at us and hollering at us and hammering us. You are guilty. You've broken the law. The law is given as a schoolmaster. That's what the Bible says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You people that think you're going to get saved by your good works and keeping the Ten Commandments, don't you understand that you cannot get saved by that? The law to you is a curse in a sense. It renders you guilty. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? How did you do that, Jesus? By being made a curse for us. For it is written in Deuteronomy 21:23, it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And I ask you, did Jesus hang on a tree? We call it the old rugged cross, but it was a tree, a rough-hewn one. I don't think it was slick and shiny like the one we have in our baptistry. I think it was probably a rough-hewn cross. And there we see Jesus hanging on that tree. A tree that was planted and grew up with a purpose of being cut down and made into a cross, where Jesus Christ was thrust on that cross. The trio sang a while ago, Glorious Love. Oh, it was a glorious love. That was a good song. And I hope you got it. I hope you listened to the words. I like to listen to the message of the songs. Glorious love. That Jesus went to that cross, a Savior man on a tree. And He died on the cross. You know, He died for you and He died for me, and we can be saved. I have been saved, and I hope you have been saved. But if not, Jesus died on the cross for you. He paid your sin debt. He became your sacrifice. He became the atoner, the one who atones for your sin and covers your sin. He became the one that was your substitute and the propitiation for your sin. Nobody else could do that. The perfect Lamb of God shed His blood on the cross, the tree, so that you could be saved. That's why you can be saved today. And I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we ought to be telling other people, that you can be born again, telling them the gospel, carrying it out to them, bringing them the gospel of Jesus Christ, witnessing, open our mouths, and telling them that I've got good news for you. One time, a little over 2,000 years ago, God's Son went to the cross and mounted it for you. And He died in your place so you don't have to go to hell. He died for your sins. And now let's go look at a saved, sanctified man that has something to do with a tree. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. This tells us that a saved really saved, sanctified, set apart man or woman for God is like a tree. And he tells us in Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That means happy and blessed. Blessed is that person. He gives us in verse 1 three negatives. Three different negatives that he lists right here. So he says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want to be happy? Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to those who contradict the Word of God. I don't care how many degrees they have behind their name. I don't care. To listen to the counsel of unsaved people, don't ever go to an unsaved psychiatrist or psychologist. Don't ever go out there to somebody who's going to counsel in the world. My counseling is nothetic, biblical counseling. I believe that's the best counseling you can do, is take the Word of God and say, this is what God says. This works. If you'll do it, you'll be a happy person. Amen. That's biblical counseling 101, and that's the best. Why do we go out there to the world, listen to the TV programs, watch that junk, and take their counsel? We don't need the counsel of the world. We need Christian counseling. Christian advice. So he says, walketh not in counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners. Standing doesn't mean you're blocking the aisle. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about going along with them. And he says, don't run around, spend your life with sinners. Now we have to have contact with them. That's all right to have some contact with them. But we are not to pick up their lifestyle. You're never going to win people to Christ by skipping church on Sunday morning and going fishing with them. We don't do that. He says, you're not to stand in the way of sinners. We're to have some contact with them, but don't have their lifestyle. You are what your friends are. By the way, parents, you need to hear that. You watch out who your children run around with, who you let them spend the night with, where they go. You find out who they are. Find out what their mother and daddy believes. Find out what they let them watch in that home before you let them run around with them. You check it out. You say, well, I won't be popular. You'll be right. I'd rather be right than popular. You'll be biblical. Do what God says, and that'll be the right thing to do. Find out who they're running around with. Don't let them date till they're 18, amen. Amen. If you do, go with them. Double date. They say, I want a double date. All right, me and mama, we're going with you. Why should that matter if all you're going to do is go out and eat? Be entertained. Now, if you're going to do kissy-kissy, you might have another problem. Necking is from the neck up, petting is from the neck down. That's why some of them don't want mom and daddy around. You need to know who your friends are and who your daughter's dating and all of that, guys. You need to know that. Don't run around with them. Nor the scornful. Don't run around with scornful. Nor the citizen in the seat of the scornful. We had a lesson about that sort of this morning in my Sunday school class. And there are those that are scornful. There are those that make fun of us. There are those that look down their noses at Bible-believing Christians who believe Jesus could come at any time. I was reading an article last night about the new way of thinking about heaven. We have been wrong all this time. I just thought I'd tell you that. I want you to know we've been wrong all this time, that there is no real heaven up there, and people don't really go up there, and there's no real such thing as bliss. But heaven is here on earth, and we're going to bring it all together here before too long, and it's our responsibility to be socialists so we can bring heaven on earth. That is a very popular thing that's being taught now. That quotation came from a preacher who has over 2,000 people in his church, who is saying, we've had this thing all wrong. Heaven is down here. And we just got to make it heaven. That's what God wants it to be. No, my friend, this is not heaven. Haven't you read where the Bible says the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat in 1 Peter? This is not heaven. Thank God it's not heaven. Amen. There is a heaven, and your loved ones that have passed away, they're there. They know there's a heaven. Don't run around with a religious racket, tears, and all of that. Don't do that. And then three positives, very quickly. He says, but his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord. That is the Word of God. He delights in the love of God. Delights in the Word of God, I mean. Delights in it. Now, there are about three approaches to studying and spending time in the Word of God. One of those is what I'd call the shredded wheat approach. Well, I'll go ahead and study it, but it's dry, maybe a little nourishing. That's better than not doing it. And then there's the castor oil approach. Some of you young people don't know what that is. You better thank the Lord you don't know what castor oil is. I found out one time. One time was enough. I'd never cough around mother after that. That's why I'm so healthy today. Castor oil. How many of you ever had castor oil? Raise your hand. It's like taking cotton seed and grinding it up and putting something bad in it and then drinking it. It's terrible stuff. But you say, well, it's not good, but I know it's good for me, so I'll go ahead and read the Word of God. But then there's the other approach. Strawberry shortcake. Last night, I said to my wife, after I'd been here a little while, I came back and I said, you know, we didn't eat supper. I said, I'm just a little bit hungry. She said, well, how about strawberry shortcake? I said, that'll do. She brought me strawberry shortcake with strawberries all over it. And yes, a big, big old hunk of ice cream on top of that. And friend, I lapped it up. She made me a cup of coffee with it. Didn't bother my rest at all last night. In fact, I think I rest better when I do that. But that should be the approach that we have when we study the Word of God. Peaches and cream. Strawberry shortcake and ice cream. You should love the Word of God. It shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be something that, oh, I gotta do it. You should love this book and approach it that way. They delight in it, love it, meditate in it. Meditate in the Word of God. You can't go to sleep, just start meditating on the things of the Word of God, and God will help you go to sleep. And don't worry about everything. You see, if you meditate on His promises, you can't go to bed worrying about everything. If you're worried today about what's going to happen tomorrow, you can't be happy today. Quit that mess. Take the promises of the Word of God. And tomorrow's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Meditate on the Word of God. So we're to delight in it. Delight in the law. In His law doth he meditate. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. If you want to be a tree like that, friend, do these other things. Do what he says, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water of life. You'll be prosperous. You'll be delighted. You'll be happy. That's a promise of the Word of God. Which one would you rather be? I'd rather be somebody who is delighting in the Word of God, doing what God says. I'd rather be like a tree that's putting forth all this beautiful fruit. I'd rather be that kind of tree. And you can be. And you should be. When you get saved, these negatives should go out of your life. The positive should go in your life. And then your life will change. You see, you can be happy. And you can be prosperous in the right sense. Prosperity is not always gold. Prosperity is many things. It might include that. But that's the way to do it. Is to do what God says in the book of Psalms. Thank God for the trees of the Bible. They teach us a lot, don't they? And I like old Zacchaeus coming down out of that tree, getting saved. And friends, some of you today need to come down out of your tree of pride. You need to come down to the level of the cross and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then the rest of us need to do what the psalmist said do. We that are saved need to do this. And when we do it, there's no reason for us to be unhappy. We can be happy and prosperous, like a tree planted by the rivers of the water of life. And thank God for it. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed just a moment. Verses 4 and 6 of Psalm 1 said, "And the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." He gives a contrast of a saved, yielded, sanctified, set apart unto God Christian, whose life is happy and prosperous. But the contrast of that is the ungodly, those who refuse and will not get saved, then they face the judgment of God. Friend, I encourage you to be saved today. Father, I thank you that in the Bible you showed us some very simple and yet in many ways profound illustrations of people that were associated with a tree. We know we're all sinners like Adam, and we need a Savior. We know the second Adam went to the old rugged cross and paid our sin debt. And I pray that men and women here who are lost, and boys and girls, would step out today and receive Christ as their Savior. And I pray that each one of us who have named the name of Christ already would determine that we want to be like that tree that is prosperous and happy, planted by the rivers of the water of life. God, help us to be right with you, yielded to you, sanctified unto thee, that we might be blessed of thee. Make us blessable, O God, as we obey you and do what you tell us to do. In Christ's name we ask it.